This week, the Rascals mince about the vice presidential debate, Ted Cruz's flip-flop, and the looming CPS teacher strike.
Today is Friday. It is October 7th, 2016. We are 31 days from the election. I'm John Williams, and this is Mincing Rascals, a weekly podcast, part of which you can usually hear on my Saturday afternoon show at 1:30 on WGN Radio.
I'm Kristen McQuarrie, a member of the Chicago Tribune editorial board.
And I'm Scott Stantis, editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome, kids. Steve Bertrand and Eric Zorn can't join us today, so we'll miss them. And
can't or
and,
won't.
And press on.
They're
oh,
on
trust
strike.
Me. Zorn would be here if he could, and we will get to the Chicago teachers in just a minute. But first, let's start with the big story. America is racked this week by the lingering effects of creepy clowns. I'm referring, of course, to Tim Kaine and Mike Pence, who... debated Tuesday night, and now the real circus stars go at it Sunday evening. Any last thoughts before we go to the presidential debate on the vice presidential debate? Kristen, what stood out for you the most?
I think what stood out for me the most was that even though Tim Kaine had, you know, made some important points and did what he was supposed to do by cornering Mike Pence on all of Trump's statements, the interruptions were so irritating to watch that it just detracted from whatever he was trying to say. So I hope going forward, everybody learns. You know, I think he lost the debate, according to polls, because of that. It was so rude.
He was amped. He was amped. And I also have to, the second part of that is I think the GOP has a new star. And certainly one of the top candidates for 2020 in Mike Pence. I didn't know what to expect. I've only watched him kind of peripherally as he's run Indiana. And kind of did a boneheaded move with the Religious Freedom Act rewrite that essentially made it, you know, all right to be a bigot. But in this debate platform and his demeanor and his delivery, I thought he was tremendous. I don't agree with him on a lot of the issues, a number of them. But I'm just taking that half step back and looking at this objectively and saying his performance was terrific and he will be a contender in 2020.
And his hair.
Yeah. No, his appearance, his performance, his demeanor, he seemed paternalistic, but in a good way, you know, fatherly or grandfatherly. He was unflappable. He lied almost every single time he opened his mouth.
I thought the time when he said he had never heard of Donald Trump was a little beyond the pale, but that may
be. Really, there's no scientific way to score a debate. It's just your gut check, and I'm with you guys. I think he handled Kaine. I don't know whose playbook Kaine was reading from. He had on a red tie and pretended he was Donald Trump. It didn't make any sense. But for the record, PolitiFact said that 31% of the things that Mike Pence said were true. 31% or 79% of the things he said were not true. So 21% of the things said were truthful. And for Tim Kaine, it was about the opposite. About 8 out of 10 things that Tim Kaine said were true. And, you know, 2 or 3 out of 10 things that Mike Pence said were true. The bar for truthfulness is so sadly low. That was surprising to me. And who saw this debate coming? That was really shocking. But now we move on to the presidential debate. So look into your crystal ball, Scott Stantis. What's going
on? Yeah.
Get ahead of the story. What will be the breakout moment in the presidential
debate? Donald Trump will whack one of the questioners in the audience with the microphone. Seriously, I've never seen Donald Trump in a town hall setting before, so I don't know how he's going to handle that. He's brusque, and you've seen him in other debates, so how's he going to handle a question he doesn't like from what are, I'm doing air quotes, which are always good for the radio. He's going to be getting questions from normal people, and how is he going to handle that? I don't know.
Think he's going to trip on one of those, huh?
I think he could come off as a bully. I think this whole setup is fraught with that kind of danger. I mean, look at what killed George H.W. Bush in 92. He looked at his watch, which frankly, after 90 minutes of hearing, you know, Ross Perot and Bill Clinton go, I'd do it too.
Right.
Hey, would you guys like to see Jill Stein or Ron Johnson there?
Gary Johnson?
I'd
Gary
like to
Johnson.
See Gary. We've editorialized in favor of allowing him to be part of these debates, because if you watch him, aside from, you know, most of the United States or the world have only seen these moments where he is forgetful and that's all they know about him, but he's actually a pretty straight-up libertarian philosophy candidate. And I think, as he has said, actually, most Americans are too. They just don't know it. But he's not reaching the poll numbers.
In watching the vice presidential debate, I was just thinking over and over again, gosh, this would be so much better if William Weld were in on this.
Oh, yeah. He's great. The running mate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you, Kristen, though? Do you have a sense of how this presidential debate's going to play out?
It's going to be boring. I mean, really.
I
don't like town hall formats because you open it up to questions from the audience. They're not as pointed maybe as an experienced moderator would be. I'm not crazy about Anderson Cooper. I don't really think he, is going to ask really deep, thought-provoking questions. And I think Trump will be fine. I think he realizes that he did not do well in the first debate. Hopefully he has studied up. And he is okay when he is mingling with hoi polloi. And I think, but I just think it's going to be pretty uneventful.
Yeah. Well, every time we think we've got a handle on it, we realize we don't. But I think that this is more Trump's room than Hillary's room. I think Hillary is great behind a lectern. She doesn't interact with the press. She works a rope line, but she doesn't really work a room. And I think that Donald Trump, he can feed off of people. If early in the debate, I think the vice presidential debate and the first presidential debate, the template was set in the first 10 minutes. You could tell how it was going to go, and it didn't deter from that script. Hillary was right away confident in the presidential debate, and you could tell that Tim Kaine was off the rail. Kaine was. And never got on it. I think if in the first 10 minutes in this one, Donald Trump sort of warms the room, if he says something and then throws out that "aren't I a rascal" kind of grin of his that plays in some audiences, I think it'll be hard for Hillary to win him back.
Oh, I think she's going to be America's grandma. That's the role she's giving herself in. And if she plays that, it'll win because I don't know that he's ever shown empathy in that situation. And this is all theater.
Oh, he doesn't have an empathetic bone in his body. Are you kidding me?
And this is all theater. So, I mean, it's not
that's
serious
interesting,
discussion.
Though. But no, that's interesting. So empathy, yeah, he does not have the empathy card. That's for sure.
And again, that's what won it for Clinton in 92. And, I feel your pain kind of stuff. And I don't know that you're not going to get that from Trump. But, yeah, you could say you could spin it the other way and just be a guy who's in control, kind of rascally but... We'll
Kristen,
see.
Do you do a Bill Clinton? Can we hear your Bill Clinton impersonation?
I did not have sex relations with that woman. No, I don't.
Good
I don't
Lord.
Have a good.
It was like a grandfather.
Yeah,
from
okay.
1950s.
I really.
Sitcom.
I'm sorry. I apologize to our listeners.
All right. I can't stand
Bill Clinton. Go ahead.
All right. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ooh, that is really good. I just want to punch you in the face.
Did you feel like you were in Arkansas just now?
I feel your pain in your breasts.
And by the way,
parts of you too.
What was Bill Clinton thinking this week? He's kind of been on the sideline, and then he sort of stepped back into the spotlight this week when he called out Obamacare and said that this thing is crazy and only works for the rich and the poor. That may be true. Ask a small business owner or a middle income wage earner what's happened to their premiums. But why would Bill say that this week? I don't understand it.
I don't know. Everything is calculated with them. Maybe he's trying to pull Hillary or make her appear to be a little bit more to the middle, but you can't.
Sympathetic to, yeah,
I mean,
that
she
crowd.
Was she introduced a single payer, so you can't pull her to the middle on the healthcare issue.
Some people actually thought that that was what Tim Kaine's, plan was. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get Mike Pence to deny everything that we know that Donald Trump has said. And then the next couple of days on the morning shows and on the late night shows, they're going to play clips of Mike Pence saying he didn't say that. And then they'll have the clip of him saying, yes, give Saudi Arabia nuclear weapons. And they juxtaposed those this week. And it was really breathtaking. But I don't know that it really matters either.
To your point earlier about Pence being a candidate in 2020, if Trump does terribly, And Pence has to own up to the fact that he ran as a running mate with this crazy guy, and clips like that get replayed, that this could be a career ender for him, the fact that he's doing this. So we'll see.
Well, then explain Ted Cruz's decision to start working for the
campaign. Oh, did you see the pictures of him phone banking for Donald Trump?
So what does that mean? I saw that. So he's phone banking. He's on the phone just randomly calling people saying, hi, I'm Ted Cruz.
Hi, I'm Ted Cruz. He's not saying vote for Donald Trump, even though in September, he did back down and say he will, in fact, vote for Trump himself. He's just encouraging people to go to the polls. And I don't know what the strategy was behind that, but his brand is just toast. You know, I mean,
it's terrible.
There are people like me who thought he was wrong to do what he did at the convention and kind of steal the spotlight, and just it was just in bad taste. And others who thought, oh, he's stepping out and, you know, rejecting his party, that's a good thing. Now he's flip-flopped on that. So
yeah.
It's just, who is this guy?
It seems so unprincipled. But just back up for a second, Kristen. So rolling out of the RNC, describe for me the value of Ted Cruz's brand. I mean, he did have something to go on there, right?
He did. He had a lot of delegates there. So when he refused to endorse on the stage, and you'll remember he was winding down and everyone was waiting to hear the words, you know, that he was endorsing him, and it didn't happen, Ted Cruz's supporters were proud of him. But the rest of the room was booing him. They were telling him to get off the stage. So it was shaky then that he had perhaps that could have been a career-ending move.
Sure, but then as the Trump campaign got off and then has been wobbling, you could see that maybe that play was going to pay off, couldn't you? If Trump plays badly in November, Cruz can say, at least I had the courage to tell you so.
Yeah,
and
but
now, at the 11th hour, he's getting on this bus that looks like it's going to crash.
Exactly, exactly. And frankly, you know, this last week was a game changer for the GOP, the right wing, because clearly Cruz has hurt himself over and over again now. You know, is he for him or is he against him? You got to make up your mind on that one. I mean, Kasich has made it, and other never Trump guys. Now Mike Pence has stepped forward, and I think he will be the leader of the right wing of the Republican Party in 2020. That's
really, you were that enamored of that performance, huh?
I think it was superb. I really did.
But it's sad that the truthfulness of these candidates. I mean, here the champion of truthfulness so far has been, at least in the vice presidential debate, right? Tim Kaine. Only 79% of the things he said were truthful. That's a C if you were a student. And that's pretty good by our standards now.
There's a very interesting study that came out about that, and it bears mentioning here briefly, and it's tribal. And that is, when it comes to candidates who lie, if the other person's lying about you, you get mad. If your candidate is lying, they're lying for you. There's a weird psychological disconnect that if someone's lying, they're lying for you, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So you're a Democrat, you're left. Hillary is lying, but she's not lying. I have many friends who are Hillary supporters who will argue to the death that she doesn't lie. And of course she does. But if you're a Republican, you see, she's a liar. I think that's an interesting psychology. And once you put that into the equation, it makes things really interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And understandable.
About that.
And so I can say Pence, I don't like what Pence stands for. I don't like the conservative cultural nature of his policies. I don't. So I probably would not support him in an election.
Okay. One last question about this then. Is there enough time for Donald Trump to win the election, Scott?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're still close. I mean, there are trends, especially in Pennsylvania and other battleground states, but it's still pretty darn close. Yes, absolutely.
You agree with that, Kristen?
Mm-hmm. It's close, but I just think demographically he doesn't have the numbers. I'm not sure how much I trust these polls. And if Latino and, you know, black voters turn out as they are expected to, he doesn't have a chance.
And organizationally, I mean, you know, the Clinton campaign is getting more and more people to register in Florida, et cetera, et cetera. Boots on the ground might end up being a difference maker in this thing.
Oh, huge difference. That's what won Barack Obama the election at 2008.
Do you suspect the motive of the governor of Florida for not extending voter registration because of the hurricane coming through? That is, he's said, no, I'm not going to extend it. But it appears as though more Democrats are registering than Republicans. And so maybe he's less interested in extending the voter registration. People say, well, I can't do it right now because of the hurricane. And he said, yeah, you've had plenty of time. Is that suspicious to you at all?
Oh.
I mean, I get sort of worked up about all of the voter registration. We had our governor here vetoed a bill that was going to allow for you to be automatically registered when you go to get a driver's license. There are so many ways to register to vote. You can register on the same day. You can. So all of this issue, like, it's so hard to do. No, it's not. You can now go on the internet. That whole argument that, you know, voter registration was difficult, and if you didn't have a 9-to-5 job, it was going to be harder to do. Mm-hmm. It is just not true anymore. With technology, it is really easy to register. So if you're out there complaining that, you know, because of the hurricane, they're not extending it or whatever, wake up and get serious, because it's not hard to register to vote.
I saw a picture of the hurricane, the swirling around from space. You know how they have that, and you can see it going up the coast. But in this one particular shot, the eye of the hurricane was positioned in a way, and the swoop of the arms of the hurricane were positioned in such a way that it looked like an evil clown face.
I thought you were going to say Donald Trump's hair.
Well, maybe I just did. But it was pretty amazing. It was this really creepy clown staring right into Florida. Mm. Are you, Scott Stantis, your wisdom on the evil clown craze sweeping this country?
Well, I moved up here from the South, where many people have guns. I suspect one of those clowns eventually will get shot in the clown thing will stop.
I'm putting it in the innocent hijinks camp. I think it's kind of fun, and I think it's kind of funny. I don't have junior high-aged kids. Maybe I'd feel differently if I did. But if you are the police and you're listening to this podcast, you have my permission to not do anything about this. There's nothing. There have been no clown killings. And you're right. The clowns, whoever these goofballs are that are scaring neighborhoods, which I think is their right, well, it is, isn't it? They're in more danger than the citizenry. I mean, somebody's going to hit them on the head with a baseball bat. That's what's going to happen next.
My fingers crossed.
I know. Hey, what about the teachers union, Kristen? So they have not had a contract, the CTU, since, what is it, the end of June 2015. And are they going to walk off next week?
They are at the bargaining table every day, leading straight up until October 11th, which is the proposed walkout date. So we'll see. I mean, it's just so surprising to me that a majority of teachers, I think the strike vote, the authorization vote, was some 90% or, you know, 95% of teachers voting to strike. And there's some questions about whether or not teachers were pressured to sign paperwork. They had union officials hovering over them as they had to say whether or not they were authorizing a strike. But this is a group of teachers who have the highest median salary in the country, $78,000. They earn $27,000 in benefits on top of that. The contract on the table for them would give them an additional 8.7% salary increase over 4 years. It does ask them to pay 7% of their pension costs. Yeah. So it's kind of a wash in terms of a salary increase. But you actually have teachers out there saying, I'm quoting one of them that was in the paper today, that they will walk out if they don't get a deal that they want, because you know, they will strike if it's in the best interest of the students.
Yeah.
It's such BS. I can't understand why teachers who are supposed to be critically thinking, all they do is listen to the riotous and inaccurate information from their union leaders. They don't do any of their own homework. They think they deserve this. The rating of the CPS right now, they just lowered it deeper into junk bond status. There's no money. It's insane to me. And I hope the public does not support the teachers as they did 4 years ago when they went on strike, because it's a different situation.
Well, the rhetoric is just so predictable. I mean, when I was reading the story today, I thought they could have written this almost any year. And when I saw 8.75 over 4 years, even though they pay 7% of their pension, I thought that's not a bad deal. You know, I don't know that we're past the stage where getting to keep your job at the same salary as the new raise. You know, nobody likes that. But if the starting point is pretty high, I think you could live with that. And I also think that the things that they're also asking for, like let's bring more guidance counselors, let's give more support to staff so they can deal with troubled kids and troubled schools, I do think that's a reasonable request, but I think the city is actually proposing that. They're going to get that, aren't they?
Well, there are all these budget cuts where the schools have had to deal with you know, situations like that and cutting off counselors. And nobody wants to see that. But they're having budget cuts because people are leaving the system. They have fewer students than ever. And, you know, the money follows the students. So if you leave CPS, that's money that's lost to the system. And they're having to cut budgets because they're paying so much out in personnel for pay and benefits. All this rhetoric that the teachers are striking for the kids, it's garbage. It's not even true. They don't even have the authority to strike over anything that's really outside of the realm of pay and benefits. So it's just, it's infuriating to me that somehow this is being transferred into an argument that it's for the children when these children especially need to be in school. They need to be in school. It's just ridiculous.
Scott, what was the cartoon that you were most proud of this week? Did you make a point with your pen this week that you said that tells the story? That's it right
oh,
there.
Oh, gosh. I always think I have a terrible week.
Oh, really?
You're drawing a hurricane right now. Looks like a breast, but I'm going to
assume that's
a hurricane.
It's a hurricane. Or that's
circle
the, that's
with
a
little,
weird-looking breast. If you think that's
it's a little hairy looking, but
it's what, maybe it's his breast.
Maybe I'm proudest of this, a very hairy breast. That's I that's a hard question to answer only because I hate my work.
So critical. I thought you wouldn't be able to choose which of your children you love the most. All terrific.
No, I've had some that were very good, but this week looking at it going, I've done better. I was kind of proud of the bus, Chicago school bus about to crash into the ground and the teacher walking and Karen Lewis walking off saying, "We're out of here." With her. I thought visually that worked.
Well, while you didn't participate that much in Kristen's rant, it sounds like you're on the same page with her.
It's preposterous. As she mentioned in passing, just one fact to recall, the bonds for the Chicago public schools are, two or three clicks now below a junk bond. I mean, there is no money. This isn't pretend. This isn't, there's no fancy, a bookkeeper or anything. They have no money. So, and as she mentioned, it's the system's hemorrhaging students. It's the city is hemorrhaging people.
Yeah.
So, if we all work together, we can probably fix this problem. But if you're going to stand up and get a raise, which, golly, how many people listening have had a raise in the last 5 years?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I say, no pay cut is the new raise. Okay. So two last real quick things for you guys before we wrap this up. Will the Cubs win the World Series? The playoffs start. We are recording this at about noontime on Friday. The Cubs' first playoff game will be tonight. Do they win it all? Scott.
He's wearing all of his Cubs gear, by the way, so I'm just letting him talk. Go ahead.
No, can they? Yes, they have the talent. They have best record in the major leagues.
This is a yes or no question. Do they win it all?
Boy. Yes.
Kristen McQuarrie, who's a Southside fan.
No.
I'm going to say yeah. I mean, why would you not say yes? If ever a team was built to win the World Series, it's this team. Pitching, hitting, closing pitching, cool coach, 103 wins. I don't believe in any of that jinx stuff. So a buddy of mine up here said, hey, you know what they should do? They should get the billy goat out and then get a black hat and then they should walk it out there and then they should, walk out. I said, no, they shouldn't. They should not do that. Stop that. Just it's a good baseball team. In any 7-game series, they should win. End of conversation. Okay, let's do our recommendations. What are we watching, listening to, reading, or consuming that we want to recommend? I'm going to go first, okay?
Okay.
This is going to sound like a commercial endorsement, but we've been getting that Blue Apron food delivered to our house. Holy cow, is that stuff good? Are you familiar with this?
No, tell us about it.
Like Seattle Sutton delivers food to your house each week, or you go pick up Seattle Sutton food.
Yeah, is this food? Are you on a diet?
It's not diet food, and it's not prepared food. They give you these beautiful laminated recipe cards, and then every single ingredient, including if it needs a tablespoon of olive oil, they give you a tablespoon of olive oil in a tiny little vial. And then it's dishes that you would never take the time to create, but it's easy now because everything is there. So the other night we had seared catfish on some sort of a grain with some sort of topping. And then another night we'd had chicken breasts cut over some tomato thing with another kind of thing. And it's just these really interesting recipes. And all the ingredients come in a cool packed box. We get dinner for two. We get three dinners, so six meals essentially sent to our house, put them in the fridge. And then you cook them, takes you, 20, 30 minutes to prepare the meal. But it's all fresh ingredients, beautiful recipes, and really delicious food.
And it's called what again?
What's it called?
Blue Apron.
Okay.
In fact, if you go to blueapron.com/John W, your first three meals are free.
Here we go.
Okay, that is a commercial, but I mean, they didn't pay for it. But it is true, because I do commercials for them. So they've been sending me this stuff, and I'm like, holy cow, I was happy to promote it. But
are you hungry 3 hours later, 2 hours later?
Yeah, that's a good question. They do. It's enough for two. And they say it's a serving for two, but it's not a serving for four. But no, it's good. I wholly endorse it. And it's new to me, so that's what I'm consuming this week. How about you, Scott? What's your recommendation?
I was recently on Craig Collins' podcast, You've Binge Served. It sounds like it's about binge watching shows. And I rewatched a show. I was only on for two seasons. It was killed by a lot of things, but it should never have been canceled, called Better Off Ted. It's on Netflix, and it is absolutely the most crackling, witty writing of a TV show. I still am in awe of how funny it is.
Huh.
Portia, and I'm going to screw up her name. DeRosier?
Yeah.
DeRosier.
Portia DeRosier.
Yeah. She's one of the leads in the show, and she's amazing. The whole cast is just remarkable. So do yourself a favor. It's two seasons. And you should Better Off Ted.
Hmm. How about you, Kristen?
Two quick things. I've been obsessed with Hurricane Matthew coverage. Been watching a lot of that. My dad is actually in Haiti. He's on a medical mission, and
he has been
in the eye of the storm in the middle of a mountain where we only hear from him sporadically. So he's supposed to be...
Have we heard from him since the storm?
Yes. They are trying to make their way to the airport, but roads and bridges are washed out. So
did he get Cat 4 force winds?
Yeah,
I mean, wow.
He did. Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was just crazy. And it was just sad because, you know, this is such an impoverished country, and they went there to help people, to bring medicine to kids who have terrible skin diseases and malnourished, and lots of kids who have, you know, worms. And, they went with this intention, and they only got to do about half of what they we're hoping to do. On a lighter note, it's October, which means I make my famous mulled wine. So I serve it on Halloween. The kids get candy. The adults get mulled wine, except if you're in a clown costume, I'm not giving you anything. but get some red wine, throw in some honey, cinnamon sticks, orange zest, cloves, oranges. Don't boil it, because then the alcohol cooks out, and what's the point of that? So you have to just simmer it so that it gets nice and hot, but without boiling out the fun part.
And then do you serve it warm?
Yes. I serve it in to-go coffee cups with a lid.
Oh,
so
my God. How much
fun
is that?
And drink wine while their kids are collecting candy.
Oh, now you're the cool house. We serve big candy bars. You're handing out booze.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Come on. Get with the program,
that's awesome.
JW.
Okay. That's this week's edition of the Mincing Rascals. Remember, you can hear this broadcast on my Saturday afternoon show on WGN Radio, normally at 1:30. Actually, this week will be an exception. It won't be broadcast there, but we'll be back at it again next week. And thanks to Kristen McQuarrie and Scott Stannis, Steve Bertrand and Eric Zorn will join us again in the future. And thanks to our producer, Kristen Decker, and our engineer, Bob Ferguson. We'll drop another pod on you next week.
Subscribe to the Mincing Rascals podcast on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. You can also listen online on the WGN Plus app or WGNplus.com. The Mincing Rascals podcast is a presentation of the WGN Plus podcast network. You can also catch highlights every Saturday from 1:30 to 2 p.m. on The John Williams Show on WGN Radio.